December 4th, 1992, take two. Oops. Take two.
Rolling.
Phoebe, talk to us about the earliest dances you can remember.
Well, I was about 10 years old. I wasn't 10 years old now when I went to this dance with my dad and them. I couldn't have been over 6 or 7 if I had been that old, you know. I was young. I couldn't dance in the real. And they danced and they danced and I could dance, you know, like I told you, any kind of a step I ever seen anybody else dance. And my dad said, I've got to go home for a long take this girl, she's getting tired. But said she left dance you one before she goes, you know. Said, can she dance? Yeah, he says she can dance. And said, well, let her dance one. We want to see her. Or there's the rest, you know. Well, I got out and danced and he played the fiddle for me. And I danced and they gave me $1 for dancing. Well, whenever they'd dress, they'd dance a while and then they'd dress. And they wanted me to dance again, you know. Well, I danced and they give me $1. Every time I danced, they give me $1 and they'd rest every now and then so I could dance. And they kept on till I danced 5 times, you know. And then I said, I ain't dancing more, I'm going home, I was tired. So I got $5, you know, and they paid them a little for playing for the dance. And that's the last time I've ever remember seeing, you know, or going to, I mean. And I wasn't no big enough to dance. I couldn't dance or nothing. And then they went to starting up a dancing around after us girls growed up, you know, 16, 17. And we went to go into dances then, and we danced first one house and another. We'd go to one house and dance, and next night they'd come to our house, and next night we'd go to some other. And then when we had church on Saturday and Sunday, we'd do the same thing, you know. And there wasn't nowhere else to go or nothing to do. And that's the way we done, and they learned us to dance, and they hardly ever wasn't enough to dance every time, you know. We just about danced us girls to death. We wasn't no others to dance. And we just, that's the way we done now. And we couldn't go to a Sunday school meeting until Saturday and Sunday. And it was 4 miles to go to a Sunday school and meet. See, I guess we'd get there and stay a while and come back. But the day was pretty near gone.
Who was the first person you ever saw dance, the hoedown kind of dance, not a dance square dance?
You mean run through the reel or just get out there and dance?
Just get out there and flat foot hoedown.
Just get out there and dance. Yeah. I seen Michael William Carter, and he'd jump up in the air and crack his feet 3 times and hit the floor and dance, and I mean he could dance anyway, the back step or anyway. And nobody never learned him. He was just bound with him, and he just wanted to dance, and he did. And they said there was a woman, and her name was Surrey McCune, and she didn't have a hair in her head. She's what they call skull head. That's what they called her. And she never did have any, I reckon, never no hair come in. And she'd lay a mirror down the floor and dance on it, never break it. I never seen that, but I hear it. It's the prettiest dancer you ever seen. And they'd come to our house and dance all night or daylight. I'd be the last one off the floor. But I was just little. They'd see who could, and we called it the who could out dance the other and down, you know. And I could dance either way they danced, every way they danced, my own way too. And that's the way it was now, all the time. Till we got growed up, you know, and got married. And that was it.
Who was the best dancer you ever saw?
You mean get out and dance that way? Well, I seen a lot of them. Michael William was awful good. He's an awful slick dancer. And Gally McCumbers, my brother-in-law, he could dance a backstep. I learned to dance the backstep off of him. Oh, and Pete Coger, he couldn't talk plain, but he could dance, you know. But he kind of danced a running dance. And Charlie Westfall, he, another feller, danced, and I learned to dance how he did. He just danced crazy in every way, you know.
Did they have names for their...
Huh?
Did they have names for the, what they danced?
No, they didn't really say anything much about what kind of a dance it was. Some said, you know, sidestep, and some said backstep, and at least like that, so they hardly ever said what kind of a dance. Don't know if they knowed or not, they said. But now there's a lot of different ways to dance. When I was able, I ain't able anymore to do that. You know, I can't really stand and dance very long.
How about the when they you call it dancing the reels?
Through the reel, going through the reel, yeah.
What was the first ones you remember? What were they like?
Going through the reel. Well, there's an old feller there, and he's like I told you, he is bald headed, and we was afraid of him. Us girls was. He was a McCune, but I can't think of his first name. And he was wanting to learn to dance, and we was afraid of him. You know, we didn't want to dance on account of him. We had never learned to dance yet to go through the reel. Well, so we just danced a little anyhow, and so he kept on, he's dancing with every one of us. You know, he could change partners. We didn't know nothing about that. And they learned us to dance that way. Got us learned, you know, and then we knew that we could call the dancers ourselves and dance there. Wasn't nobody no caller, we just called to say. And there wasn't nowhere to go, only to Sunday school or meeting or to dance, you know, or something like that. There wasn't nowhere to go. So they got them, well, they'd go to my sister down there, Peter Schoolcraft, it was his name, she married a schoolcraft. He'd go to out there to Grantsville, and stay all night, walk and stay all night, and then go on, and then come back and stay all night. His fur, you know, he couldn't hardly, wasn't no way to get there and back. Just dirt roads. And there wasn't no way to get there, no automobiles or going or nothing.
You told me something about going to a dance a little while ago in there, and a fellow had an odd sheep or something.
What was it?
A fella had an odd sheep.
You have to make me understand on what you...
He said something about this fella where you used to go to a dance, I think you said over towards Spencer, and the fella had a sheep.
Oh, that there's a six-legged sheep. That's the one who was wanting to marry me, I told you. He'd get you and he wouldn't let you go at all. He'd just... you know, dance with you all the time. You just have to make him just say, getting tired of dancing with you, and other people wanting to dance with you, you know. He'd finally let you dance with somebody, but if he ever got a hold of you again, he wanted to dance with you all the time, you know. And he asked that girl we raised up, he said, you dance with me? He said, no, you just dance with Phoebe all the time. I ain't dancing with you. She wouldn't dance with him because, you know, he danced with me. It wanted to dance with me all the time. Well, I could talk any one of them girls as boyfriend. I wouldn't take him. I said I wouldn't take my... Well, that's the same for my sister, you know. We was raised up with them. I said I wouldn't take my sister's boyfriends. Well, they just wanted to go with me anyhow. You know, I said no. I was the boss. You don't know how to take care of yourself, you better not go out there, you know.
Did you ever call any figures, Phoebe?
Yeah.
What thing?
Figure eight. And I don't remember now what all, we knowed all kind of figures when we was in dance. And Butterfly Whirl. And I just don't remember hardly how many we did. We knowed pretty near all of them, what they call. We learned them, you know. If we didn't have no callers, we was the callers. And had the dates too.
Now, who played the music around for all the dances?
Well, my dad and Noe, and one time, there's nobody there but me and Noe. And they wanted me to dance all the time, but Noe, he wanted to dance, you know. And so they paid him, they didn't pay him nothing, but they paid me 10 cents a couple, you know. And I played a while, and I made $3 and something, and he didn't make hardly anything. They wanted me to dance too, you know, and I couldn't dance and play too, so I just told Noe he'd have to go ahead and play. And that's the way it goes, you know. You ain't got nobody to play and call or for you.
I was thinking about who among the old people, were you related to Wes Cottrell?
You mean John Wesley Cottrell?
He was a fiddle player?
No, John Wesley Cottrell, he plays the guitar, don't he?
No, this is a real old-time person.
Now what did you say his name was?
Wes Cottrell is what I heard.
I don't remember. I might have been a little bit. Okay. I don't know.
Well, tell us about John McCune.
Well, he come through them hills and he drink, you know. He was bad to drink, but he never cut up or nothing, you know what I mean? What I call julep is some of them call it mash to make whiskey, I understood. I didn't know nothing much about that, for I didn't drink. But anyhow, he come to our house, and my dad worked all day, and he is so tardy. And he said, "Get John." His name is John T. "Oh," he said, "you just play there. I'll lay here and listen at you." I said, "You come out of the bed and get up." And he had a gallon of julep now. That's what I call it. Well, we had a place we hadn't got, it was just built a house, you know, and didn't have all the loft done yet. And he said he's a jug up there. He'd go get him a drink every now and then, and he'd come back. And I never heard his fiddling in my life. He's one of the best I ever heard. He could play any kind of a tune. He could play the lonesomest tunes you ever hear. Just any kind. And you couldn't hardly get him to play unless he has a drinking that way. I don't know why, but that's the way they were. He come out of the bed directly. He got the fiddlesticks. And they played all night. And he is hard. He had worked all day. No, he's an awful good fiddler. I played with him. But I almost forgot his tunes all up. You see, I learned you one as he played. Yeah, we still had a tape recorder or anything in. We didn't have nothing.
Now, there was a story about...
Oh, you just want me to tell about the banjo, and we'll tell about that. And the banjo.
Okay.
Well, we'd see a banjo now and then, and somebody would go through with an old banjo, you know. And I heard them playing, and I loved that banjo playing. I thought I wanted to play. And Noe, he'd been with him a lot, and he learned to play a little, you know. And he said to him and some other boys were going to make a banjo so we could learn them. Well, they made the neck, whittled it out, and fixed it nice as they could and slick as they could. And they put wooden keys in, so burn holes through there and put them wooden keys in. They'd give, you know, and you couldn't hardly keep them tuned up. And they had this... When they got it fixed, they had it so high it'd cut your fingers trying to note it, you know. Well, when they got that fixed, they got an old rim somewhere and got some stuff and made a head. They had to make a head, you know, to go on that their neck. So they made a head and put it on there, and then they didn't have nothing to win that head. And they said they'd put a flower poke head in there. Well, they put the flower poke head in. It didn't sound right. You couldn't hardly get no sound out of it at all, you know. And he found these old strings where they'd come there and play it. Some people, I reckon, lost too little to know anything about, and he'd pick them up. And he put the strings on, made him a bridge. You know, him and two or three other boys. Well, now, he said that wouldn't do, and they killed a groundhog, some of them. And they tanned the side, you know, this, you can make shoe leather out. My dad would make shoe leather out a lot of times. And it's as soft and white as it could be, you know, but it's too thick. Put that in, it was worse. Somebody told him about a cat. And they he killed a cat and tanned its hide. I put it in, it gives you some sound, you know, because it is really thin. And we'd get our corn hoed over and help the neighbors out, you know, they help one another's out of the way. So I went up to, we went up to this man, he said to come up and help hoe his over. We done hoed ours over, and they didn't have to give us anything, you know, but they'd give you a little meat to hand over, or a few fodder beans or something like that they didn't need, which we had plenty of them. And he said for me to come bring a banjo. And they said, what in the world do you want her to bring a banjo for? He said, I want her to play a little for me. And I couldn't play very good, you know. And he said, take your banjo up on the hill, and they're as mad as they could be, for they know that I wasn't going to do nothing. And they said, you sit down in that stump there, and said, you play till we get out of here, and that wasn't very perfect. And he said, you when we come back in the urn, said, you can play again, we'll sit and rest a while. And then he allowed me a quarter, you know, like if he was going to pay me, and my sister 50 cents, and my brother 50 cents, and my dad 75, you know. And they said, well, she never done nothing. Said, oh, yes, she done more than all of us, and she played the banjo first. I thought that was crazy, either way, but no, I did just sit there and listen and watch him. I never done a thing. That's what he was wanting. And I couldn't even play very good. You know, for you couldn't note the banjo hardly or nothing.
Now, what about that first banjo?
That's the first banjo we ever got. I was talking about it. He made.
Did it have
no
frets?
No, them boys.
Did it have frets on it?
No, sir, it didn't have no frets on it. No, they didn't put no frets on. They didn't have any to go on for that go unless they made wire frets or something.
Why did they burn the holes in for the pegs?
To put the keys in, the wooden keys. You see, they had to try to make this banjo that we could learn to play on.
I don't suppose they had a drill to put the holes in.
No, they just burned them through with a little rock. No, I'll tell you, I had to quit then, you know, I just learned a little bit. And finally got a hold of an old banjo noise in somewhere. And he has learned to play. He wouldn't let me play, you know. I'd offer him nickels and dimes. And he said, now you see my banjo alone. I said, if ever I learn, you'll remember. I meant to do my best to beat him for the way he's doing that. You know, I was wanting to learn that. Well, now when that was over, you know, I learned a little bit on him. At banjo, and I finally just quit playing and there for I don't know how long, you know. And then when I got married, my plum quit. I just never played no more. I could get a banjo, but I didn't want any. You know, I had to help raise young'uns and the crops and everything. And the plum quit. And after they got grown up, they said they had to go to playing again. Well, my husband, he didn't care, you know. He said, if you want to go and play, you earn it. And you go and play. Now, he liked to fiddle, but he didn't care much about a banjo. But they'd come here and play just the same. And he'd just listen. And he could play a fiddle pretty good. I played old Joe Clark with him a lot of time. And I've been playing ever since 64, off and on. You know, I could play pretty good when I was married to him before this plum quit, and we was living on a man's place over there on Middle Run, the inside of Lockany. And this old man, he'd come up and after I'd get my work all done up, you know, my husband was working for them, working out our rent. And he'd say, Miss Parsons, I'd like for you to play me a tune. And I'd say, well, because he's so old, I felt sorry for him, and I'd play a little. And he said, I'll give you $10 if you'll learn me one thing. I said, I'd like to, but you'd have to want to play it and learn it. You might as well say yourself. Well, he said, I got tired of him coming, you know. Of course, I wouldn't have done it, but I did. And I said, well, you've been up there enough annoying me around. I ain't going to play anymore. And he said, okay. And he just got went home, you know, down there. And they got me down there one night to play a little. And they went plumb crazy over me playing. They wanted me to come every night and play, and I wouldn't go. I quit right then. You see, none of them could play down there where I went. And my dad, you know, he's awful bad to joke sometimes. He's telling the truth this time, and he heard what he heard. This woman was afraid of a mountain rifle. And she said, "Oh, I'm afraid of them guns." And he said, "Yes, ma'am, they are dangerous." He said, "They're dangerous without a lock. It's without a lock, let's see, lock, barrel, or trigger." He said, "How do you say they're dangerous without all that?" Said, "A man beat his woman to death with a ramrod." Boy, she went on about that. Gosh.
Well, that sounds kind of like a riddle.
Yeah, it's almost like one. But that's the truth. They told it, you know, whether it's, I mean, he heard it. They told him it was, he didn't beat her to death, but they whipped her speck with it.
Why don't you tell me a couple of those riddles?
Huh?
Why don't you tell me a couple of those riddles?
What riddles is that now?
Well, let's see. There's one that was a thrashing machine. How'd that go?
Oh, yeah. Didn't you get that one that I told you about the thrashing machine?
Tell them.
Oh, you've done told them, haven't you?
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Through a rock, through a reel, through an old spinning wheel, through a sheep, shin, shank, bone, such a riddle ever is known. How'd you get it? I figured you'd done told them about it. Yeah, it's a riddle. Yeah, you got that. I told you about under gravel I do travel, didn't you? They don't know. Well, there's a slave. They used to catch slaves up and work them, you know. And this old man told him, said, "If you can make up a riddle, I'll give you 2 or 3 years to make it up in and tell the truth. Well, I'll set you free." Well, he made the riddle up, and he went back to it, and he said, "I come to tell you my riddle, so they set him free." And he said, "It's ever but the truth." Okay, it's what they want. He said, "Under gravel I do travel, on white oak leaves I do stand, I ride to fill it, never as folded, and pack a piece of the girth in my right hand." I can yawn rid of that. Or did you ever hear that? That's the truth. He had to tell the truth or he wouldn't have set him free. You don't know. You want me to tell him?
Sure.
You want to hear it?
Is it flint?
Yeah, I can tell it if you want me to.
Sure.
He said, "Under gravel I do travel." He had gravels in his hatband on his traveling under them gravels. "Under gravel I do travel. On white oak leaves I do stand," he had them in the bottom of his shoe. "I ride the filly that never was folded and pack a piece of the girth in my right hand." He took a coat from a mare, his old mare that he had, and he took a piece of her hide and made a whip. And he told him, and it was the truth, and it set him free. And they said that was the truth.
He took the coat.
He took a colt himself.
She didn't have it born.
No, it wasn't born. He took it. And when he took it, you know, it killed her, in a way. She was awful old anyhow, that horse was. And he just took a piece of that hide off in her back, you know, and made him a whip. And he rounded it up good, didn't he? It was 3 years and he was riding that colt. 3 years.
Now say it all again.
"Under gravel I do travel. On white oak leaves I do stand. I ride the filly that never was folded and pack a piece of the girth in my right hand." He'd give him 3 years. And then my mother said that there's another girl, and they told her if she'd tell a, wanted the truth that way. You know, they'd set her free if she could make up a riddle that was truth, you know. And she, I don't know how long we give her, I never heard. But anyhow, she made this riddle up and told him. She said, as I walked out from the dead and the living came, six a wearer, seven a bee, tell me this riddle and I'll set you free. And that was the truth. Now, do you want me to tell you the answers? Okay. This girl was going to out of past this house up to way and holler to get water to a spring. Now this is a one that there's a working, you know, slave. And she happened to pass and a patterage flew out. An old patterage flew out, you know. And she had her a nest and she had six patterages hatched out, young ones. And she had her nest built in an old dead horse's head, was been there for years, and it was none of that in that holler, that horse's head. And that was every word of the truth, you know. And she told them, they set her free, they said. That's what she said, that's all I know, what they told me. But I figured that was the truth. For you know, that'd be six aware as six patterages, little ones. Seven to me, she was seven. And she said, tell me this riddle and I'll set you free. And she told and they turned her.
Now say the whole thing over.
What?
Say the whole thing.
Again. As I walked out from the dead, the living came. See, the horse head was dead and she and the birds was living. Six a wear, seven a bee, tell me this riddle and I'll set you free. Now that's enough foolishness, ain't it, for today.
Now, what about the one that was the beehive?
What's
that? Oh, I better not tell the answer up.
What?
Went down across the pasture.
Huh?
Something I can't. About the old white mare or the old.
Oh, yeah, that's one you want to hear?
Yeah.
Okay. I went up stairs last night. I looked out white. I seen white in white. I sent white to get white out of white. That was the truth too. Bet you'll never know what that is, will I? That was a man. He had a white dog. And he looked out the white window. It was white. You know, it was a buckwheat patch. It was white. And the moon shining on light. And he said, I went upstairs last night. I looked out white. I seen white in white. I sent white to put white out of white. There's an old white cow in his buckwheat patch. And that was the answer to it. And he sent his dog to get it, and his dog was white. And the window was white, and he's looking out of that, and his buckwheat, you know, it looked like it's white when it gets about in bloom or whatever you call it. And you didn't know that yet after I told that man all he done just write them down as I come up them there. We couldn't hardly talk for them people, you know.
Now there's one more about
You better hurry up, I'm getting tired and worn out. Learning how to play it too.
About the is it the beehive?
Oh, about the
beehive.
You've heard it a bit. Down yonder in the field stands an old gray mare. Heist up her tail and sop your bread there. That was it, wasn't it? You know what that is? Has a bee gum and you lift the lid up and get the honey and sop your bread in. That's the answer to it.
Now, say it all again.
I about forgot to read
it. Is it way down yonder?
Way down yonder in the field stands an old gray mare. Heist up her tail and sop your bread there.